acquired some gold, friend, why not head to the shop and take a look around? This is Core. My hearing.
But what were you holding up there? Looked like a gum wrapper package or something?
Oh, I didn't realize that was on camera. I thought the screen was there. It was just a gum package. I was making it look like a...
Oh.
He's pew, getting pew. Money.
For some reason, it's reversed for me. Is it reversed for John?
My new sponsor is Excel Gum.
Oh.
Chew Excel today, and you'll be good at using spreadsheet software. It's what all the top financial people use in Canada.
We don't
Excel gum. Accelerate your breath.
That's a brand we don't have, I don't think. I don't think we have Excel gum here.
That's their slogan. It's accelerate your breath, but like I guess it's misspelled because it's literally Microsoft Excel on this brand.
Maybe that's why it's not here. Maybe there's some trademarky thing going on. I don't know how that stuff works, but that's pretty funny. Hey, everybody, it's Core, episode 83. I'm Scott Johnson with Bo Schwartz and John Jagger, and we're all gathered around the fire that is Heroes of the Storm to talk about what's going on this week. And it's kind of a weird week because E3 is still happening, but sort of ended for me and many of us who follow it based mainly on the stage presentations. And I'm feeling a little like overwhelmed by that experience. I do every year, so I'm kind of brain dead. Like, video games are everywhere in my head. And part of me, I think I saw a tweet from John that reminded me of this, but this morning I went, oh, yeah, it's Mouth Ale comes out today. Like, yeah. That was fast. Like, it seems like it really crept up on me, which is good. It's good to get back to the game. We're going to be playing a lot between these big games that got announced at E3. So I'm excited about that. But here's the question that's bearing down on me like a, I don't know, like a big gray cloud full of rain, ready to just take a dump on the poor citizens below, okay? And that is this.
Both you really made clouds vindictive, by the way.
I did. Well, that's because I'm hoping that one of my loot chests yields one of those frowny Rimsey Shire clouds. I want one of those really bad.
Rimsey Shire.
Yeah.
We don't go there.
So what I was going to say is what? Oh, so you have both been hoarding to... a lesser degree, John. John's been hoarding since the Mouth Ale announcement, so you just had, you know, a number of loot chests to hold on to that, so when this happened, you could roll those and get whatever new stuff came out, or, you know, certainly improve your chances of getting those things. In Bo's case, he hasn't opened his 100 or so that he started with when 2.0 landed. So I'm curious, who has opened their loot chests since this happened today, and was this the big day? So we'll start with John. John, did you open all of them, and did you make a video record of said opening?
No, I just logged in and was like, oh, it's time. And then I went crazy. I opened them the way you opened yours the first time. Just out of control.
Yeah.
The way my dogs open Christmas presents. I just tore into them. It was just like, what is it? I don't care. I'm just good. I'm just happy to be here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I walked away with some stuff. I ended up not getting Malfiel. So I had to pick him up separately.
Oh.
But that's okay. I had gems from buying that zebra bundle, and it was enough to get him. So I did get a skin for him. I used a bunch of my shards to pick up some other things that I felt were very mission critical to me. So now my Malfiel can spam Nephilim.
Oh, I didn't
realize throughout the entire match.
Yeah, didn't realize so that was good. one of his voice emotes. That'll be fun to hear over and over.
Oh yeah, you will hear it. Yeah. If I play him, I will make sure that you hear it a couple times at least.
Any surprises in this opening? Like anything that you were like, man, I'm sure glad I hung on to that because look what I got outside of the Malfiel stuff.
No, everything I got that was cool ended up being stuff that I sharded or bought with gems or gold or whatever other currencies that I spent. Like, none of it actually came out of the boxes.
That's a bummer. So, all right.
Well. It's fine. I mean, that's the system working as intended. Like, I got a bunch of shards from stuff I didn't care about, and that enabled me to buy things like the Angry Cloud, and I got some murky stuff. And
by the way, the Rimsey Shire Cloud, 2,400 gems, or yeah. Shards,
yeah.
Rather.
Yeah.
It's a lot of shards.
It's a lot of
it's
shards.
It's a cloud. Like, okay, so there's a bunch of legendary skins in the game. They cost 1,600.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got, I don't know, the repurposed Nimbus cloud with a JPEG, or I guess a, you know, like a GIF of a face on top. Like, it's not worth $2,600. I looked at that price. I was like, oh, sweet. Maybe I'll spend some gems on this. $2,600? Forget it.
Yeah.
No, I spent it. And happily, it's not a rip because it deserves to be more expensive. Okay, hold on. I'm making an argument just to make an argument here. I do think it's too expensive. But I will say this. A legendary skin is applicable to one hero that you may or may not play.
Yeah.
The Rimsey Shire, as I guess we're calling it now, Clouds.
He did call it a Rimsey Shire, but anyway.
Okay. I hereby dub thee the Rimsey Shire Clouds.
Right. Okay.
They are applicable to many heroes. Almost all of them. Yeah. There's a number that they aren't, but you can use it for almost everyone, and it reflects your mood, and really there's no value too high for that. You know,
sure. Is it a grumpy one or a smiling one? Did you buy, which one did you get?
I got the angry one.
Oh, you really did?
The angry
okay
one.
Why yeah. How couldn't you not get the angry one? I understand that. All right, how many total before we moved to Bo, how many total chests was that then spent?
I think I had 12 or 13 to open, okay. Something like that.
So nothing
and
crazy.
And spread out between like the Haka chests and these chests and rare chests and all of that.
Oh, right, because you probably got class chests. The class chest thing I still don't completely understand, because the last two times I got class chests where it said this is a Vala chest or whatever, whoever it was, they didn't contain a single thing for that character.
That's weird, because I have never had the class chest not contain something for the character.
Is it that maybe you missed it because their voice lines show up and they're the most... it's like you don't even see them when you open up voice line, skin!
Yeah.
And then shards, and you're like, what were the other two items? I don't know what they were. It was just some crap that I didn't look at.
That's a good point.
It's not guaranteed to be good. It could be a portrait, an emoji, a voice line, you know, anything. Yeah. So
that's a good point. That's probably what happened. And part of the problem with those voice lines is it's like reading the Matrix. You can't even see whose face it is half the time.
Yeah.
I don't have the patience for that. I ain't got no time for that. So, yeah, I'm sure that's probably what happened. Bo makes a good point. So, Bo, let's get over to you. You had like 100 of these damn things or more.
I still do.
Oh, my gosh. You still haven't opened it. What are you waiting
for? The journey to 100 loot boxes. Let me tell you, I haven't been depriving myself. I'll play a bit. I'll open a loot box or two and keep a loot box or two. So I've been, you know, I fluctuate on my way up. It's not a straight line up. But generally, I've been profiting on boxes, especially because of the event where you get a free box a day. It makes it pretty easy to hold on to them. Well, here's one little benefit of holding on to your boxes. I still have my veteran loot boxes. Well, okay, full disclosure, I accidentally opened one and it was super pissed. Because if you click on it too quick, and it didn't have a ton of gold, so I re-rolled it a couple of times. I believe I did end up with two legendaries in the box, but I felt bad because I really wanted to hold on to all 10.
Yeah,
I only have 9 of those things left.
Yeah.
They changed them so they glow orange now, which, if you remember, they just looked purple like the Epic boxes, and this was a new update this week.
Yeah.
So clearly, I don't know if anyone else is holding on to their veteran boxes, but if they are, you notice. Like, I feel like it's a really small segment of the player base that notices update, because how else do you get legendary boxes in the game?
This small. It's like this like many people.
So
here's the thing. You get it from the one way, being a veteran, which if you haven't logged into 2.0 since the changeover, I guess you're going to get the sweet orange boxes. But it makes me think, well, they added orange art in for a reason.
Mm.
Maybe we're going to start getting a guaranteed legendary box for something.
Yeah.
Being awesome.
You think so, eh? For being awesome. So... There's this, we have a cable network channel in this country called A&E. You might be interested in that channel. They have this show. Oh, you have A&E. Okay. Well, then you might be familiar with a show called Hoarders, where they chronicle people who just stack stuff and say, well, sometimes I'll take one out and put another one back in, but I just want to keep my big pile of stuff.
So let's throw a few gripes out there then, and a reason to keep it. I'd be willing to open boxes. Where's my Super Soaker Tychus and Super Soaker Tracer?
Next week, probably.
Next week, yeah.
The skin, I guess it's a master skin. Like, there seems to be 3 Malthiel skins, 3 master skins. Are they even master skins anymore? The 100
really.
Shard tier skins, and I think there's 400 shard. None of them, I was like, I like the basic one. None of them actually competed. So I'm like, I don't want those. Yeah. There's nothing I want. So I don't want to open things just for the sake of opening them.
Yeah. And it's not like we're talking about
100 boxes.
Sure.
I also have 3,600 shards. And I have 2,700 something gems in my account. Uh-huh. So I'm just sitting on a bunch of stuff. I'm probably the reason the prices are going to inflate. 2 years from now, I'm going to have 5 million of everything. And they're like, well, we got to start charging 5 million per skin because these people who sit on their shards, they want them to spend.
Well, it's a good question because, I mean, obviously we kid when we talk about hoarding because they're digital and who cares. But aren't you going to get into this pattern of like, well, none of the things I want are out right now. And then you wait for the next set and you're like, well, those are cool. But did you see that video of upcoming stuff? Those are the ones I'm really waiting for. Like, are you worried you're going to be that guy that never buys a phone because the next best phone is always coming out, but then there's one right behind it that's better than that? Like, are you worried about being in that loop at all?
I'm pretty much that guy, but let me tell you, there's one thing I never have enough of, and it's gold, laddie. I never have enough gold. I had 15K in my bank account thanks to the end of the season. Spent it all in Malfield. The only thing I want was the Lucky Hero. Now I can't open loot boxes because I can't re-roll or do anything.
Yeah. Hold on. Hold on, Bo. 1 second.
Yeah.
You spent gold on Malfield?
Yeah.
Are you crazy?
No. You can't spend shards on it.
No, but you can spend
the gems. Can spend the gems, which you just said you had 2,000 of.
The gems I don't really want to spend. There's no real reason to spend
them. Yes, so you don't have to spend 1,500 gold. That's the reason you don't spend. That's the reason you spend gems.
15,000 gold.
Use that gold for the rerolls that you so desperately need so that you can open a chest that probably gave you Malthiel for free.
I see what you're saying, but here's how it works in my brain.
All right.
Gems makes me feel like I'm paying my money. Gems are my currency.
Yeah.
Or gold makes me feel like I got it for free. Blizzard said, "Oh, thank you for your patronage, sir. Here is a free Malthiel. We love you."
Uh-huh.
And that's why I was like, "No, I want to spend I have no gold, but I'd rather spend the gold on it because it feels like, you know, gold is imaginary, but gems have real value."
What would you have spent the gems on if you hadn't bought that? Or, you know, like, what are you saving those for? Because isn't it just characters? And
using them, Scott.
Honestly, right now, I'm just saving them to see the number get higher at this point.
So you're playing an idle clicker at the same time as you're playing Heroes of the Storm. All right,
Exactly. It's worth noting that every 25 levels, you get 125 gems.
Yeah.
And I got 1,000 for free at the beginning of 2.0. And I did buy the welcome bundle for $5, which I got for the zebra.
Yeah.
But I did end up getting like 400 or 800 gems or something like that. So I'm just piling them up, you know. Maybe someday they're going to put like the golden Leoric in there and it'll be like 100,000 gems and I'll be the only one to own it. I'll be like, suck it, everybody. Double bird.
Well, far be it from me. I mean, I blow like the wind because sometimes people are like, just buy that Jaina skin and I do it while we're recording a podcast. So I'm not one to talk. But I guess I'm glad one of us is doing this so that we can see this grand experiment play out. Because I'm going to, as soon as I get a chest, bam. I didn't have a single chest to open today because I'm totally dumb that way. It hadn't even occurred to me, save your chest because you're going to want to do Malfell stuff that day. Maybe you'll even get the character, Scott. I didn't do that. It's how I got Chen. I could have done that, and I didn't do it. So I'm a bad example of it. John's the other way, or he's kind of middle ground where he's like, well, I'm going to make a smart, strategic, tactical choice of when to do this, and I think that was good. And then Bo's got the whole other opposite problem of me, and now I'm curious how it's going to play out. So I'm going to say, don't stop believing. Let's see how it goes. We'll check back in. Each week, we'll just check in, see what you're doing with your boxes.
I know how this story goes, Scott.
How does it go?
It goes the same way as any episode of Hoarders. He doesn't spend or use any of this stuff in the fear that he might one day need it. And it accumulates and accumulates and accumulates until there are dead animals underneath piles of gems. And everything smells bad. And then instead of spending it on hero stuff, they tell him he can't play heroes anymore. And they take all that stuff and throw it in a big dumpster that's out on his driveway.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, if it wasn't digital stuff, I might be with you. But since we're talking about like literally taking no space, not even on your hard drive, Bo, I think I'm As judge of this court, I'm going to allow it. I want to see it happen. Not that you need me to allow it.
We're going
to
spend it. Heroes will die.
Well, let's not say never.
With our son at some point, and his stuff will go with it.
Let's not say never, because there is something that might be incentive, which I'm afraid they'll do, which means they'll probably do it, is if they take a page out of Overwatch's book and start having special boxes for special seasons where I want things, because then basic boxes are just going to get me basic stuff. So then I'll be like, well, I might as well open them. Yeah. But right now, like, I don't know. There's just, the problem is there isn't a reason for me to open it. Mm. I love everything they've done with 2.0. Everything looks pretty, but I kind of don't care about any of it. Like emoji, awesome, great. But I'm a 37-year-old man. I'm not impressed by emoji. I'm sorry. You know, like I think it looks great, but I'm not like chomping at the bit to open it all and get all these voice lines and stuff. Like, it's for me as a consumer, I want to look good in my match, so I want a good skin. Once I've got a good skin, I'm set. You know, I've got the Cyberhawk Kael'thas. I play a lot of Kael'thas. I don't need the rest of his skins. So I'm like that with a lot of heroes, where I've got the skin I want right now.
Yeah.
For most of them, except for Tychus. I want that sexy Speedo skin like you wouldn't believe.
Okay, now hold on. When that comes out, then, does that mean...
I'll probably spend my shards on it. But here's the thing, and this is the thing that's irritating about this kind of stuff. I'm pretty sure it's going to be like a 3,600-point skin or something. It's going to be expensive.
Oh, yeah.
And what I might do is I might wait a few weeks to see if that's just a launch price.
I think that's great.
What we'll have to see too. There's a lot of unknowns right now about how the business model is working long term, which is why I don't want to open them all now and go, yeah, everything's going to be 1,600 shards in the future.
Things could change. Yeah, things could change.
Yeah,
that's one way to look at this, is that, you know, that we can't assume this early in 2.0 that all that's settled. You know, some of that could get tweaked, and maybe that day will come where it's like, oh, we're switching to this and it's amazing, and me and John will go, damn it, I don't have any boxes now, and you'll go, really? And you'll sit there atop your pile and you'll be able to, you know, take advantage of whatever.
There's one way to fix this, which would be a sudden boost in income. Mm. Now, given the disposable income situation, I might just blow $1,000 on boxes. I'm that kind of person, but I don't have that right now. So that's also an issue, too.
But also, what if they upped gold rewards in a way that was substantial? Because right now it still trickles in kind of the old rate. It's not great. It's okay. But I feel like since the scene has changed, the dynamic of the game has changed so much, if we could earn gold quicker, that would certainly encourage you to spend more on boxes, because now you got the reroll money. Because that's really your big holdback, right? If there was no reroll, I don't know if we'd be having this conversation.
Because I'd be happy rerolling just to stockpile shards.
Right.
Because shards is power. I mean, it's purchasing power, in that when something new drops, I can just cut ahead of the line, get concierge service at the collection manager. Thrall comes up and says, I see you have a lot of money. Follow me to this tent.
I was going
to
ask who our concierge guy was, but now I know. That's great.
Thrall was the first one that came to mind. Yeah. Probably could have done better.
It's a weird version of that voice, but sure, I'll take it.
It was a Thrall, not the Thrall.
We'll check in on Bo Boxgate next week to see.
Can I just make one last analogy about how Bo's experience feels to me?
Of course.
Resident Evil.
Yeah.
You get this sweet Magnum gun that's real cool, but it has limited bullets. Like, bullets for the Magnum are really hard to find.
Yeah, I remember that.
And I think everybody does what I used to do and what Bo's doing with this now, which is like, oh, I might need this Magnum later. I better put that in the box. Oh, Magnum bullets? Those are hard to find. I better put that in the box.
Yeah.
And you do that through the entire game, and the next thing you know, the game's over. You've never fired the Magnum.
It's true. It's usually because the other guns are just fine.
Yeah, that's true. But I understand this. Like, you should see my World of Warcraft bank and all the shite that's in there that I really shouldn't keep in there.
Yeah, like, you want to talk about a fire sale.
Oh, my God.
That thing's gone. I got zero gold in my World of Warcraft character. When they did the battle ID thing, I cashed everything out for money, and I bought I bought a bunch of skins and heroes, and that's it. I sold out. I got nothing. I'm the poorest character in World of Warcraft. I'm the poorest level 110 in World of Warcraft.
Literally, you're this cow. Wait, are you? No, you're a panda. What are you? I forget.
No, I'm I'm a tauren.
Okay, so he's a tauren. Sorry, not cow. Tauren, who can make a little bull unit or whatever the thing is. That's all you can do. You sell those. You generate your little taunt ball monkey thing, whatever it is, and then sell that off. Oh shoot, it has a cooldown. Never mind, they go away. You are the you're right. You're the brokest character in all of World of Warcraft. Take that, Azeroth. Yes. Take that. All right, well, let's move on. I don't know if you guys can smell it, but there's a new season in the air.
I can smell it.
I don't mean spring. I certainly don't mean summer.
It's your new underwear, John.
It's your John's new underwear.
That's nice.
Shredded wheat brand underwear. It's a long story. we've entered a new season of Heroes that brings new placement games, chance to kind of reassess our personal and team goals, that sort of thing. What are we hoping for out of this one? What are we at? Six? Is this six? Seven? Six?
I don't think we're counting them that way.
Okay.
It's 2017-2.
Oh, all right.
Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
I always want to apply a number, but I guess they're not doing that in this game. So
I guess, like, if you counted preseason, it's number six. So there was three. Hmm. There's preseason, then three in 2016, one in 2017 for five. Yeah. So it is numero six, but they're just calling it 2017 season two in your progression tab.
What do you think about
sequel to 2017?
Yeah, that's true. Do you guys think, I mean, you know what, I'm actually going to pull an email up from down here. So, cause we're probably going to go over this. This came from Brenton J, who sent this to Core at heroesforyou.com. He says, we're coming up on a new season. This past season was the first time that I did Hero League. I didn't do very well for my placement. I ended up in low silver. What impact does my current rank/league have on the next season? Is the damage I've already done pretty significant, or does the new season wipe my slate clean? Finally, how do you feel about how it all currently works? Thanks, Brenton. Brenton J is his name. That's a really good question. I don't know. Every time I finish something in silver, I always go, "Is this did that help me or hurt me?" Or last year or last two seasons ago when I came out bronze, I went, "Ugh, is this going to set me back?" I don't know how it works in any of these games. Do we know? Have they ever said what
there's
carries
been
forward?
Talk of it. There's been rumors that the way it works is it looks at last season's record, but if you don't have X number of games, then it looks to your unranked. If you don't have X number of games and unranked, then it looks at your quick match to help, you know, justify where your ranking is going to be, where they're going to put you at an initial level. So it does impact going forward. That's why you don't see wild swings from season to season. That's why if you ranked silver and you continued to play games and you stayed in silver, you can do your placements, you can win most of your placements, and maybe you'll end up in gold, but most likely you're going to end up right back in silver. Mm-hmm. It is just kind of the way it goes. It's why, because Bo, you can speak to this too. I don't want to speak for you, but like, he's traditionally been very vocal about his willingness to try new things and who cares what happens in quick match and, you know, whatever. And then, you know, he's one of the winningest players I know. He'll do well in his placements. And next thing you know, he seems lower than everybody else I know. And I think it's because it's pulling that data from other modes.
Mm. So thoughts,
bro? Yeah, well, I've had a few finishes in Diamond, but I continually get placed in Platinum 3 despite my protestations. And I've had a lot. I'm glad you brought this up now because the season has drawn to a close. I've played probably about 300 games this season of Hero League. I wouldn't call it tryharding, but I've been consistently playing at it. And as we talked about in the last episode, I'm not the kind of person that's like, I'm practicing Vala, I'm playing Vala this season. Like, I'm very much like Genji's new, let's bring that in. I've played so much now that I've grown apathetic to this need that it's this big official thing when I go into ranked.
Yeah.
And there's a couple reasons for that. First of all, not everyone buckles up their bootstraps to play Hero League. And why am I doing it if that's not... It's insane for me to have those expectations in an environment where many of the other players don't. Mm-hmm. The other thing to keep in mind is the more I think about it, the more it bothers me. There's no ladder. There's no ranked mode. Ranked mode is literally measured. There's an internal MMR. Because it's hidden from view, it's not something we're meant to think about. So really, the MMR just serves to put you in a fair match. Now, let's say that's true. Rank points kind of have nothing to do with it. Because really, like grandmasters, the reason they're grandmasters is they have the most points. and it requires them to win more than they lose to get up there faster or to eventually get up there. But really, the points don't matter past Diamond 3, the highest place where the position, where the game system places you. So it doesn't matter where you're getting placed. Like, it's not a ladder if you get tossed up three quarters of the way up. You don't need a ladder. You've got jumping boots, or you've got a friend with a really good throwing arm. And the point of my weird rant is that it shouldn't matter. It doesn't matter. Unless you're hitting Diamond 3, unless your intent is to go Grand Master, it shouldn't matter all that much. And there really is no ladder. Hmm. Just go in, play the game, have a good time.
Okay, so I got a question. It's kind of meta to what ranked is right now for people. I think what I'm doing this season is I'm not going to go placement matches and then keep on trucking. I think what I'm going to do is placement matches, see where that puts me. We'll also do team league placements and then make potential continuous play there, or we may do unranked draft or whatever. But I'm going to do that with single player solo queue ranked, see where I end up, and then be okay to walk away from that. And that was a piece of that's a meta part of the game I played, but now I'm back to doing whatever my friends and I want to play. Does that make sense? I'm not going to make a point of like, all right, I hit Diamond 4, so now, you know, let's get to gold. You know, like, I don't care enough about the long term of the season that I do that initial placement. The placement's fun because I want to know where I land. And if I had a bunch of bad games, I'm always surprised if I land a little higher than I expected or something. And this is true in Overwatch too, by the way. I just kind of like to see where I end up. Is that a dumb, I mean, obviously not taking full advantage of the ranking system though. That's me.
You're allowed to have whatever fun you want to have in whatever.
Well, mode. Yeah.
But this is what I'll say. This is what I'll say is I've played a fair number of quick match for a period of time. I think in the season I didn't play a lot of, I was playing a lot of different heroes. And I got very tired of not playing the proper heroes game. The benefit you do get is, and I haven't played in a long time in lower leagues, so I can't attest to the frequency in all leagues, but I know in Platinum, where I'm forever paddling at the same rank after 300 games, that you will get a tank and you will get a support. Sometimes you get double tank and double support. A good chunk of the time, you get something resembling a real match without the need for friends. And not everyone has friends to play with. Some people do play solo. They play, or your friends are not online, so you want the hero's experience. You're not getting that from the stupidity that quick match can be sometimes. Today, I queued as Malfurion, and we had an Alarak and a Brightwing and a Medivh, and the Alarak couldn't hit anything, and we had a Nova, and we just, like, we got stomped for no reason other than it was a weird comp. We didn't even have the Malthiel on our team, surprisingly enough. And it just felt like playing quick match, like, well, I just burned 30 minutes trying new Malfurion, which is what I wanted to do. But if I queued in here on a day where I wanted to play, and this was my mode I picked, like, this was not a good representation of this game. The play was sloppy. The queue, the way the teams were assembled were garbage. Like, it's not what I would want to introduce someone to the game to having played it. It was a waste of 30 minutes, basically. And that's the contract with Quick Match. So if you're someone who plays regularly, I'd say that's not a good place for you to play all the time. Eventually, you can do both. Quick Match is a great place for experimentation or to blow off steam. But it's good to play ranked and not care about your ranked, at least to have people say, you know, I'm going to draft a tank and we actually get to try comps we see in HGC because people watch it and they want to try it. Like you do have those experiences there, and that's what that's your value. That's your reason to play it. Not so much to rank as it is to play the game the way it's meant to be played when you don't have friends to help you do it.
Well, we have somebody by the name of Draven Dresden on the line who has a question or thought or comment. Draven, what's up?
Hey, I love your show, first off. Here every week.
Oh, thanks, man.
Yeah. So when I first started Heroes, it was my first actual MOBA. I put in maybe 5 games total in another MOBA, which won't be named, but it rhymes with Laugh Out Loud. And I was terrible at that game too. But I was really bad at Heroes when it first came out, and I was losing to AI a lot, didn't understand the concept and all that. Slowly made my way up, got into the competitive side, Hero League, and I got put in silver. You know, I fell into bronze a couple times, worked my way back up to mid silver. But I made a second account with a lot less games, and I got 7 ranks higher. I'm almost out of gold in that second account. And that's just annoying.
Yeah. So I see you're kind of, I've thought about this a lot with my account. We've talked about it on the show before, but I know if I started a new account, I'd do better. I just know it. Mm-hmm. I'm 100% sure of it because I had the same introduction to this game. Did not like MOBAs before, had a hard time with previous existing MOBAs, came into this hoping to find my feet. It took a while. And when I did, and it clicked, I went, oh, all right, cool. And I've been on a pretty steady uphill, incline since in terms of, my ability to play this game well. And I just know if I went and started a new account, I would place better, the whatever hidden MMR would be higher, all that stuff. I'm sure of it. I'm 100% sure of it. I don't know why I should be 100% sure of it. Maybe I'm smoking the crack, but
no, you're not wrong. There was a Reddit post about somebody who he plays the ranked mode every season from 3 different accounts, and he plays the same amount of games across them, or roughly at least a minimum amount of games. He tries hard in every single one of them. And he has 3 different ranks that he's basically stuck at this point, and they're vastly different. And I kind of feel the same way. Now, I will say due diligence before anybody argues with me on this. I will say that I do not much care for Hero League. I don't think it's particularly fun. I like playing with my friends. I can't do that in Hero League, so I kind of avoid it because I tend to get tilted very easily by the chat. Like, as soon as somebody gets salty, I just don't want to play it anymore.
Right.
Because I'd rather have a good experience than a bad one.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. It's for some people. So, it's not for others. I get that.
It's hard for me to play there. Now, Hotslogs and the MMR and all their business that they have, it's what we have to go off of. Mm-hmm. So, grain of salt. But right now on Hotslogs, the ranking that they assign me for Quick Match, which is where I play more often than not, I have the games, I have the experience, currently lists me as a diamond player within that MMR. I'm not saying I'm a diamond player. I don't think I am. But the fact that I can't get out of silver, I think that's maybe too far in the other direction as well. I think if I put in the insane amount of time and effort and work, I do think I could get out of silver, but I don't think it's as easy or the experience that it should be to get out of silver. And my frustration with being in silver isn't, oh, I think I'm better than silver, my thing should be higher. Like, that's one thing. But it's another thing to just go in and have people telling you information that might seem right at rank silver, but I know is wrong. I've had people question, hey, Leoric isn't good as a solo laner on Braxis. It's like, no, he's a great solo laner on Braxis. What are you talking about? And just people just will state facts that aren't facts in Silver League. People will throw games constantly. And I'm sure these are problems across the board. I don't know because I haven't made it into those leagues necessarily. But the level of play that we experience on our team league feels very comfortable to me. When I go and play in silver, it feels uncomfortable. It feels like I no longer know what to expect from people.
I would say everything you're bringing up is not necessarily a fault of MMR.
Well, maybe. I mean,
I don't think it's necessarily a fault of MMR. I don't think the system is ideal. And I think the biggest problem with the system is that while I agree with what Bo's saying, that it shouldn't be a ladder to climb, then they need to not put incentives on the ladder to climb for. Well, I'm fine with being whatever, but if you say, hey, you want this really cool mount? You better work to be this level if you want to get this mount. Now you're telling people, no, they have to go for that. You're putting a carrot at the end of the stick, and you're saying, no, you should go for it.
The big issue, John, is that some people are throwing up 3/4 up the way of the ladder, and you're throwing at the bottom of the ladder. Like, a ladder is meant to be climbed. Hearthstone kind of does it where they do soft resets. You bump down. Like, I don't know what the solution is. You do a full reset every year and soft resets a couple times a year. But this, like, idea that, like, someone there are methods. I was watching, I think, Dunk Train stream, and they were talking about it. And, you know, I haven't verified it, haven't done it, but they were discussing methods how to get yourself in a new account to Diamond 3, you know, farming quick match with five really good players, and you get yourself there, and then you start your climb. D3 is where the ladder starts, folks. So if you're under D3, you're not on the ladder. It's just what I want to emphasize with people. It's like, it actually doesn't matter. Like, you're meant to think it does matter. And the way games work, they affect the dopamine centers in our brain. We're like, ooh, the ball's spinning and I'm ranking up. And, oh, I feel bad. I got to work hard on this demotion match. It's pretty pointless, I'm sorry to say. Having played a ton of games and felt a certain way, I would just say people actually try to build comps in Hero League more often than not. That makes it worth my time to play. Because when I take level 16 cleanse on Carl Jim, my teammates applaud me instead of ignore me and do dumb things like they do in quick match because no one's invested. And that's the key thing about these matches is investment. If someone has worked their way from the bottom, you know, whether they're bad or not, they're invested because they're trying. If someone who gets fired up the ladder every season thinks that not only is it justified where they're put, but they still should be higher, doesn't have much investment. And I see that from players who play 50 matches in a season and are preaching me, who recently graduated to level elite of 1,337, on how to play the game. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
So, you know, yeah, that's been Hero League. I really think I really think people should enjoy it, but there are problems. And I think the seeding, the way it works, it's not fun for the people who aren't at the top.
So
not fun.
Draven, before we let you go, are you tempted at all to just do that second account and never play your original account? Like, are you at that point where you're like, well, I've spent a little money over there, or I've got stuff over there, but I think I'm going to stick with this new, better placement account that you have?
In terms of actual games, I've been doing both, mainly because I put more than a little bit of money into the main account. I have a lot of stuff on the main account.
Yeah.
Not very much on the new one. But, and I agree with Bo, in terms of the ladder and stuff like that, if you're below a certain level, it really doesn't matter. My problem with it, though, it wasn't because of what I did. I got put there. I went, my very first placement games, I was 6-0. And then the next four games, and I didn't even queue up right off the bat, back to back with them. I spaced them out, hoping to dodge this guy. Guy threw the game 7. Then I waited, same guy in game 8, 9, and 10. He threw all four games.
Oh, great. That worked out well for you, that part of the
deal. So I got stuck 6-4, which is great for placements, you know, compared to some people I've seen.
Yeah.
But that really tanked my MMR, and I have not been able to get out of where I am, no matter what I have tried. So whenever 2.0 happened, you got the mega bundles. I was like, okay, perfect time for a new account. I get a whole bunch of heroes I can try. I just got to level them up to 5. No big deal. I did that 7 ranks higher right off the bat.
Yeah.
While it's not diamond, platinum, grandmaster, etc.
Yeah.
The play level is different and you can see a difference.
Yeah.
And it's just a better game overall. I'm never going to be grandmaster. I don't ever plan on trying to be grandmaster. I would like to see, you know, get out of gold and see the difference in play, because while I'm never a grandmaster, I do think I can be, given the experience, diamond platinum level up there with Bo eventually.
Well, and this is like something you hear a lot of. People either complain that MMR hell exists and they're in it, or it's not real and it's, you just make that up to make yourself feel better about your poor play. The fact of the matter is, if anyone's ever played Hero League on a Friday night at any level, there are people playing poorly, and when you suit up to play 4 or 5 games at your best, and Johnny Weedman is like, guess what, guys, I'm high, you know, and then he's like, you guys suck at the game, I'm high. It, you know, like, it's just a throw. You just rolled a critical fail on your D20 when you queued up, and the only person in control of how that functions is Blizzard. And to me, how ranked should work is it should reward investment. Are you invested in playing in ranked? The only way to put distance between you and people who aren't invested is to play more and to rank up. Because, other, you know, like they can still have a behind-the-scenes MMR system, but they can start us all off at bronze and just measure us by our fortitude and stamina as we go up.
Yeah.
And if you listen to the BlizzCon panels, they know what they're talking about way more than I do. But they show that graph and they show where people were placed and where they wanted to place them. Mm. We're like, hey, there's too many people in Diamond. We're going to move them down to Platinum. Sounds like social engineering to me. Like, it doesn't sound, you know, like that sounds like we have a goal in mind of how we want this graph to look. So we're going to do things to make sure that happens. Mm-hmm. So that's an invisible system working against you. To what degree, I don't know, because none of us are really clear on how a lot of this stuff works except for the points. Mm-hmm. So it's no surprise that anyone can go in and make a new account and roll the dice and see where they get placed.
Yeah,
but I think that said, I think regardless of how you feel, I would hope that all of us and hopefully even Blizzard would agree that the perception or the reality of the best way for me to get good matches in this game is to roll a brand new account is not a good one.
Yeah.
Whether that is in fact the truth or it is just a perception that people feel, that is not an ideal system.
No, because then you just are smurfing your whole time you play this game, and they don't want that. Blizzard doesn't want that. I don't think they want that. They already have a problem with smurf camps.
Yeah. They have two contravalent forces. They've got people who are low who want to feel like they can progress, and they've got people who are amazing, where if they never did a reset, would be like the master points of my loot box or whatever. They have like 5 billion master points, and no one can ever take first place off. There's always that guy in the iOS game on the leaderboard.
Yeah.
Like the top guy's got like 200 points, and then like second, and then first place has like 5 billion. You're like, that guy's doing something.
Yeah, they freak me out. I don't trust the every time I see
every
like
game a, has those, and I assume them. Hacks, but maybe you know,
not.
Scott,
maybe
they're something we don't.
Maybe they're just really good. I was playing Boggle with some guy on iOS the other day, and he trounced me so hard that I think my nose bled by the time I was done. And I don't know what happened. Like I did well. I got my averages were all up, but all I could think about is he's got a hack or a program or a thing or something. So there's always those guys and they exist and there's nothing you can do about them. They're freaks of nature and or cheaters. So life, everybody, life. All right. Well, good topic. Thanks for the call. And we'll do more of that on the show. I think I like doing that.
Yeah, it was nice to hear from Draven.
Yeah, it was really cool. Mouth Ale patch hit today. I also bought mine with gems.
Good job, Scott.
Thanks.
I agree with your methodology. It was good.
It's in fact, I got the whole bundle for gems. It was only 1,500 or something, and I had three for I don't remember why. Probably the zebra thing. I don't remember why I have that, but yeah. that felt okay to me.
Why is that computer firing?
Someone's computer's firing up for no reason. Anyway, so it's out. It's a thing. We got the Thrall rework. We got that. We got Malph getting hit. We got Bolt Gate in effect. We talked about that at length last week. Got some cleanse talents removed. I don't remember us talking about that. What happened to cleanse? Why did they clean cleanse? Does anyone know? What was the deal there?
Part of Malfurion's nerf.
We talked about the long-term removal of cleanse and how you called it many years ago when they were removing Bolt and how we just wake up one day and we'd be without cleanser or Bolt.
Or bolts. Where have all my bolts gone? I don't know.
Two things I look for in the shower. Cleanser and bolts.
If you're looking for bolts, I want to see your shower. But anyway, Malthael's bargain started today. You play some games with a friend as Diablo heroes and you get a mount. We talked about it last week, so that's now in effect. How many games is it? Is it five? Is it three? Is it what is it?
I think it's a lot. I think it's
15.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, that's right. They beefed it up because it's not like a broken apart multi-week thing. It's just straight up it's a contest. I mean, it's a thing. You got to do it. So get in there and do it.
Not an insane amount, but
no,
15.
Now that summer stuff didn't happen today, like we talked about. I don't know why. Maybe they wanted a non-E3 week where there's not so much focus on a million other games. I don't know, but
maybe let Malthiel be special and then let the summer be its own thing would be my guess. I don't know.
Did anything, and we think maybe next week, but did anything not happen that maybe we missed this week? Did anything go crazy? Are the full rotations of maps in for quick play? Because I want that.
Yep, those are definitely in. I had to play a match on Garden of Terror today.
All right.
As a result.
I bet you your account is flagged for like first five matches back.
He's back! Get him in!
Yeah.
Get him in!
Your database entry is highlighted in yellow or something. They're making sure.
Still better than Hanamura. So, did anybody else play Malthiel? I'm curious how, because I know most of us had played him in tri-mode last week. But has anybody actually tried him in a live type setting?
I did a quick match and he got paper. He's like paper. He died very fast all the time. How was that, Bo? How was it for you, Bo?
Because I played one too. So there's always this measurement that happens. Because remember, your first match on a new hero, adjusted MMRs, and boy oh boy, did I ever notice it. Now there's two outcomes that happen on match one of a new hero.
Yeah.
You stomp them diva style into oblivion and say winky face. Or you die repeatedly because the character's not OP, and that's Malthiel's right now.
Yeah.
The only person I was able to kill was Zeratul because I would always last rites him, and then he'd void prison me and walk away with the death man coming down going, hey, I'm going to kill you, and then he didn't kill him. So. So I had to take my victories where I could.
All right. So I feel like he's a little papery.
He's super papery. I thought I had hopes that he would be stronger than he was.
Yeah.
Because I don't know, in tri mode it seemed very nice. But it turns out it's really hard to get that ability stacked up on enough things to where the heal is substantial and not die before you do it.
Yeah,
because I felt like I kept just wanting to say, everybody stop hitting me. I need to just hit a couple more things so that I can self-heal and it'll be good. You because otherwise I'm going to self-heal and it's bad. No, there were like no tanks, which is also a part of the problem.
I think that's the issue with him. Because I played all Assassin's match and Vala just eats you alive.
You're done.
But I think with tanks, I can't remember if it's a percentage of the damage healed, but obviously the 4% dot you're doing is worth more. But there's just more
health per it's 44 health per and a percentage of what their max HP is, which is why it's super good on tanks.
But here's the thing that I felt like everyone needed to put the brakes on with the percentage damage is that it's per second. So a lot of the giant killer stuff is per auto attack, and we stim auto attacks, and there's different ways to buff auto attacks that have the percentage. Keep in mind, giant killer is the auto attack damage plus the giant killer. But if it's a dot, it's slow. So there's a lot of value in it, but also it's not super fast, which is how I felt about it. And if certainly if everyone was leaving my range so I could race strike them, then I felt like I could do nothing.
I felt like it was a lot of poking with E, which is on a very long cooldown for all you're doing is poking with E.
Yeah, a lot of E poke happening.
They're
a new startup in Silicon Valley. I'm very interested to see where they go.
I say this because I've had very little experience with them so far, so I say this with reservation until I've had more time with them. I feel like they snuck, without me noticing, because in tri-mode it's hard to tell, they snuck in a little Ariel stuff, and I didn't expect that. And what I mean by that is his self-sustain, which you need very badly because he's made of paper. He's a wispy piece of paper. Maybe you've seen it in Waterworld. It's very important in Waterworld, that paper. Beeper. Anyway, he's so flimsy that he needs to be making sure to put marks on people as often as he can and then take advantage of that with his suck-it-all-in soul unit deal. That's great, but it does feel a little bit like Ariel whispered to him and said, hey, you want to have a really complicated way of healing? Because I know one. It's where you have to, it's like putting crowns on everybody, except it's your mark. I mean, that's kind of what I feel like with him. And yeah. I hope that's not how I feel long term, because it happens to me a mechanic I'm not in love with. It requires a lot of micro. In her case, it's actually easier. It's one crown and hope that guy does damage. But in your case, it's putting things on enemies and making sure it's enough of them and making sure your wave is well placed. And you've got combination skill shot, timing shot, a little bit of that wave's a little, who's it remind me of? I don't know. Kate, you know, anybody with a timed attack where it's not immediate, it takes a second to kick in. KT does things like that. Certainly Chromey is plagued with that. Her entire kit is all about things that take forever to wind up. It has kind of a slow roll and a slow wind up. And if you hit a bunch of them, great. But now you got to get in there and you got to W that stuff or Q or whatever it is. I forget. To get the healing. And if you're really good at paying attention to how much damage you're taking and doing all of that micromanagement, then maybe, just maybe, you're going to survive and do okay. But I feel like a lot of that stuff is like Ariel stuff, and it's rubbing me just a little the wrong way. Time will tell. I need more time with him. I guarantee you that. But that's how it feels right now.
100% with you. The two things that I keep wishing I could do, and maybe these are OP changes and it's like, well, no, that makes the character broken at that point. I'm not saying this makes for a balanced hero. This is just what I'm sitting there wishing I could do as Malthiel, is because I have to play so far back poking because he's so weak, is I find myself wishing I could cast my Q on an ally and have the effect go off around them and receive the healing from them. Mm-hmm. Or the alternative, because you have to be in the thick of it. Like, if you hit a whole wave of minions, in order to get your Q to hit all the minions, you have to go stand in the middle of them, and you take about as much death from those minions as you do getting the health back. So what I wish that I could do is, if I send out an E and I hit a whole bunch of people in a group, and then I use my W to teleport in to strike, I wish that it had a Zeratul effect where I could hit W again and go back to where I was. So that I could E, hit a whole bunch of things, W in, hit my Q to get the heal, and W out so that I could back out. Mm-hmm. Could make him OP, but I feel like that would be a nice active thing I could do if I couldn't be right in the front thick of it, which I feel like I rarely can be with him.
Mm. Yeah, interesting point. Bo, so where are you at with him? I mean, you usually do.
Still early. It's one game so far, so I didn't play any of him on the PTR, just in try mode, so I'm a little loath to have too strong of an opinion just yet, but he seems papery. I agree with your paper assessment.
Yeah, he's way papery. He's papery. He's like, it makes him feel very light and floaty. And he already is kind of floaty looking, right? He's all wispy and ghosty and stuff. And my memory from Diablo was it took a lot to kill him.
Yeah, yep.
If you were playing,
it takes a long time. I think Bo. How long did you fight him for?
So in season one, I killed him on Torment 6 Hardcore, which at the time was the highest Torment.
Yeah.
And I went in kind of early. Once you go in to fight something on Torment 6 and Hardcore, there's no going out. You either die or kill it.
Yeah.
And as it turns out, when I went in there, my DPS was too low. I was very tanky. It took me 51 minutes.
Oh, my gosh.
It took me, because I wasn't dying. I'm not giving up my Hardcore character. I sat there for 51 minutes. Thankfully, it was single player, so I could pause it to get a drink.
Yeah.
But I sat there for 51 minutes pounding on that guy, like 2 HP and DPS at a time. But I was ranked 315th in North America for the takedown, so it was all worth it.
All right. Well, see, that's my point, though, is I feel like he's being represented here as a little piece of toilet paper that flew away. And that's okay. We'll get used to him. There's lots of wimpy characters in the game. I remember complaining to high heaven when Tracer came out about how killable she was, but now I don't seem to mind that so much, so it's fine. And when we play later, we'll make sure we have a tank on the team. You know, we'll do some things to beef up that.
We'll have a tank, we'll have a healer, mm-hmm. maybe, you know, you just need Oriel with you, mm-hmm. and there'll be a lot of hope. She'll give you a lot of hope.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She'll give you hope, all right.
What is it called? Wraithmark?
Crown of Annoyance. No? Crown of... here's a crown. That's what it's called. Here's
Wait,
a crown.
Are you talking about Malthiel or Ariel?
Yeah, what's Malthiel's D?
Oh, his? His D is called...
Reaper's Mark.
Reaper's Mark. Right? Yeah. Everybody, look, he needs... Speaking of our underwear conversation before the show, Reaper's Mark can be real trouble. You need to get a new pair. Watch out for that Reaper's Mark.
Oh, yeah, it's terrible. It's worse than an orange note.
Yeah, that D is nasty. All right. Let's talk about the new hotkey, the force move. It's in now. Some players are pretty jazzed about this. I was reading stuff on Reddit where people are like, finally, this game's all now. We can finally play with force move.
Now it's a game.
Yeah, now it's a game. I don't know. It's fine. It's like quick casting. If you have a taste for it, okay. The way it works is this. We've talked about it before, but when a hero receives a force move command, they will move to the target point without attacking any units on the way or anything that was clicked when the command was issued. So the idea is you need to move there, but don't attack move, which is attack anything on your way, I guess, is the, so it's kind of the opposite of that. So I don't
know. It's for like Tracer. Like, you've been playing a lot of Tracer. Yeah. Even if you don't attack move with her, she has a tendency to glom on to shooting whatever's near her, without an attack move.
Yep.
So you have characters like Genji, who does a reflect and damages people around him. Maybe if you're moving towards Genji, you want to get into position, but you'd rather not kill your entire team by shooting at him. This is a method to move closer to Genji without her pulling out her guns and blasting away at him.
And what's the...
She will continue to shoot. That's the one asterisk on this, is Overwatch characters that auto, still auto, but it doesn't change their target.
Oh, okay.
That's a new one. A better example is Nova, because if you just use right-click and right-click Nova into a lane, she, I don't know if it's true now, but there have been times where she just automatically autos something nearby because you used the general move. There's a button. I think S does it and H as well. Hold. No, stop doesn't do it. Stop just stops you, but if something comes into auto range, you'll automatically attack on any character.
That's true.
H is hold, which means it'll also hold back your autos. So this is like a move H. So if you move to a location with this and then stop, you shouldn't be attacking. Except Overwatch characters, for some reason, must always be attacking. They come from the Alec Baldwin school of auto attacking.
Alec Baldwin
auto attacking is for closers.
Right, exactly. I was going to say, that sounds like his character, that Donaghy? Jack Donaghy. Oh. There it is. From 30 Rock, right?
Jack Donaghy from Brian Glary.
Yeah, Brian Dennehy from FX. Anyway, the point is, well, that's an old reference. Look that one up. Ask your parents.
I loved that movie.
FX was great.
It was a TV show for a while. That's a cool premise.
It was a really cool premise.
I saw the movie. It was a movie at first, right?
Yeah, it was a movie. It had a terrible sequel we will not talk about. But the first FX movie had a really cool concept. The show, I don't know if it lasted very long, but it was also a very cool idea.
Yeah, it didn't last long, but it was a cool
thing. Wasn't the whole idea is that like a special effects guy was roped into heisty stuff?
Yeah, no, he worked with the police. So he would foil criminals using the power of special effects.
Foil the criminies.
He was like a good Mysterio.
Oh, yeah. There you go. That's a good way to put it. So anyway, Bo's classification of this as Force H, I think, is the way to understand it. If you already use H, if you use the halt ability, this is Move H. There you go.
Yeah, Move H.
H Move TV.
And if you're prepared, then it's Preparation H.
There you go. If you're prepared.
Okay. Well, by the way, I have an idea for this new show concept that I don't think has been done before, but what if there were like some podcasters, right?
Yeah.
And they were a little out of work, but then it turns out the police really needed their ability to laugh and have a good time to help solve crimes.
Okay.
Okay.
And yeah, there you go. I mean, it writes itself, right? I'm done.
That's a TV show. We did it.
I thought you, I love that John and I were literally waiting for the next part of the plan, and it was, and there you go. That's your plan.
I mean, liked FX. I watched it a long time ago, so I don't remember it, but I imagine that's how it's like, hey, we're makeup effects artists. Why can't we help solve crimes?
I think it's a cool idea.
Bo's pitch really read as, I'd like to make some of that sick TV show money.
Exactly. Wouldn't we all, though?
I'm with you. Let's do it.
Let's talk about new mastery taunts. Those also happened. They've been added. They can be unlocked on a per-hero basis by reaching levels 25, 50, 75, and 100 with that hero. So do I have a mastery taunt with Jaina and Muradin and all my level 25s and higher, right? I just need to go get them going. Right?
Yeah.
New thing alert. Boop, 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 boop.
Beep, boop, boop, boop.
Lasers. New thing alert. On the hero select screen, when you look at your number, there's a new frame around the level. So you can see what level of mastery taunt you are on all of them.
Oh, that's cool.
So the, you know, if you're below 15, there's nothing, but there's like these little horns now if you're over 15. And if you're higher, they're a little hornier. And if they're a little higher, there's some other things on it.
Listen, my experience has been the higher I am, the hornier I get.
Really, Scott? I didn't know that. I should try it.
Yeah.
We've learned many things.
Things you didn't know or want to know, you've learned here
I
today.
I had another new thing alert, but I can't think of it.
Oh, really? Well, I did notice something when I was in earlier, just making sure I was all patched up. So when we play later, I noticed that... when I went into quick match screen and just had, I think I still had Gall sitting there, Cho'Gall. And he, above or below him, or just down by his stupid ugly feet, there was a little piece of UI that was kind of pulsating dark red that said, no players, not enough players to make a team or something. I don't know if that's supposed to be there.
That was always, well.
Oh, because I'm selected on Cho'Gall. I just realized
Cho'Gall.
That.
Yeah, it's a Cho'Gall thing.
It just.
I like how you were needlessly savage towards Cho'Gall.
Yeah.
Well, Cho'Gall
and his ugly feet.
Well, he does. He has ugly, good, nasty, good. Big old.
I'm not gonna stick up for his feet.
Shitty feet. They're bad feet.
Oh, there's a bunch of new emojis.
What happened to Bo?
I was just thinking of the new stuff. By the way, not in the patch notes, not in anywhere I could find. There's actually a bunch of new emoji and portraits and other banners and stuff in there.
Mm.
And I don't know what it is. So I just wanted to take a moment to say aloud, let us know what the new stuff is. Like, mark them in the collection manager.
Would you rather not? Oh, I see. To indicate what's new and what isn't. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking at stuff and I'm like, I got a portrait and I'm like, I've never seen this portrait before. And it wasn't in the Tychus cigar thing. Mind you, it was hard to pay attention with so much cigar in the video.
Yeah, that thing was.
So I'd like to see like a little like new to the collection whenever stuff is dropped, because there's tons of new portraits in there.
Yeah, right now. I will agree with that.
I'm going to use a new one. Yeah. There was one in there I liked a lot.
I like that when anyone does that. If you go to a store, like an online store, like the Apple Store, I wish their web ordering thing. Well, it does actually. When there's been an update, it'll say new next to it. They didn't used to do that. I appreciate it because then I don't choose the wrong thing. I want the one that has the new change. Or if I'm on Amazon and something's gotten replaced on an Echo and whatever, I can see that it's changed. Like, that's a cool feature. You should put that in your video games, free-to-play games that want me to spend money. Bam! Yeah. Boom! Take it! All right. Mid-season brawl group stage begins. Have the tournaments been fun to watch? I have had no time for any of it.
It has been so good. And Scott, I'm going to tell you, there is a match you have to watch.
Okay, which one?
And as soon as I can remember which one it is, I will tell you.
It's Dignitas versus L5.
Okay. That's it.
Okay.
That's the one.
L5
kind of choked and Dignitas did a lot to hold it together. They could have easily just lost the game if they weren't Dignitas, if that makes sense.
Like, this is the mid-season brawl group stage, group B, L5 versus Team Dignitas. I think I found it. Is it game one of that fight?
You want to watch game one.
Okay.
You'll want to watch game two, but game one's the one to watch.
Okay.
It's a nail biter. Such a good comeback. I mean, it's one of those games we talked about a long time ago when they just started esports for Heroes. We talked about a major comeback, and this finally blows it out of the water. In fact, if you want to scrub ahead to the casters' reactions post...
Scrub ahead.
That's like, what it's called? Scrubbing?
Like post the game? So. At the end of the game, you mean?
Yeah. Go all the way to the reaction desk after the match is over.
Okay, here it is. I'm going to just get up here where they're about to take it. I'm going to turn the sound on.
Spoilers. Dignitas wins.
And it's when they cut back to the couch.
Okay.
With this immortal, but again, it's going to a fort, which is going to a keep. And during this whole time, top is going to be pressure.
We'll skip ahead.
It's going to be GG. And Dignitas take game number one.
Dignitas.
Legitimately cannot put into words how impressive the last 10 minutes of that game were on the side of Dignitas.
All right.
I mean, I don't say this
right now. They're looking at these young teenagers actually make that game who play video games for a living.
An amazing team like L5. Like, that is unheard of.
The amount.
Okay, go to the couch. Put onto that core. Falstead, sorry, chat. Is there an actual couch?
Yeah, they'll cut to it.
It's four chairs.
Yeah, hold on.
I'm gonna see if I can skip.
beautiful to see that from them. Staggering any death, responding to the core properly.
See, these guys are standing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, here we go.
I don't understand.
We need to clip that out. That's a good one. I don't understand.
Yeah, that's great. I'll watch that whole game, though.
I'll mark that
and watch that later, sure. That sounds great.
And we can use it on the show. Whenever something happens, Claris can just go, I don't understand.
Yeah. Well,
But the best part about you playing that clip is when the team won, I didn't realize, because I'm only hearing the audio, what a freaking dance party the broadcast is. It was like, and Dignitas won, GG.
Yeah, that's really good.
Move your body.
Wow. The Canadian rave show going on here is something else. But yeah, no, they seem to be really into that. But are you saying, I mean, were all the games good? Like, what did I miss? I feel like I need to just go rewatch this whole damn thing.
I mean, I don't think you have to watch the whole thing. There are certainly, maybe pick some teams you like and follow them. Mm-hmm. The games have been good. Like, this format has been amazing. It has basically been, they play two games. It's not a best of. I mean, there are advantages to going 2-0 over your opponent because it awards 2 or 3 points instead of one.
Yeah.
But it's been just everybody playing everybody, and they're just accumulating points to get a ranking at this stage in the game. So it's just been very solid matches. There's been a lot of upsets. There's been a lot of crazy comebacks. There's been teams that we didn't expect to be really good, be really good. There was a game today, and I feel bad for them because they haven't won a game yet. And I'm not pulling for them to win, but I want them to win one. But it was a game that lasted 6 minutes and some odd seconds before this team lost. Like, and it's the fastest game I think they've ever had in HGC. Like, it's been crazy. The format's been amazing. The way they kind of have people in this little lounge and cut back to them. They bring in the players to talk to them and sit down with them. There's a cool drawing board for replays and whatnot that Grubby abused, and it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a lot of fun. This has been the best tournament that I've seen for HGC so far.
It's also proof that Trixler is taller than you think he is. He's a tall person, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I would say he's like average height.
Is he?
I wouldn't put him in short.
Tall. Oh, all right. Well, he looks tall in this can. You know, cameras mess everything up. But this looks
They'll stand on boxes when they do the production.
I like this format.
Except for J-How.
This seems like a cool format. I like what they're doing there. All right. Well, I'm going to watch this later.
Keep in mind, they're still going on. Like, Monday, Tuesday, there were group stage games. Tomorrow, there's group stage games.
Mm.
The finals are the weekend after. I had the dates up in front of me. July? Or June, sorry. Starting June 17th.
Nice.
On Saturday, next weekend.
And I put a Twitch clip in the chat that you should see, Scott.
Oh, it's a Twitch clip?
You will appreciate this as an artist, you will appreciate it.
Do you have a replay for us to go to?
Well, I do have a moment. If we just take a look at this. Oh, sorry, pause for a sec. It's just something I was doodling.
Dude, what the crap? That's great. I like Grubby. Grubby makes me laugh.
He's so good. Grubby's amazing. It's been such a fun tournament. And that's been the spirit through all of it. It's been very light and very fun. And I think that's what it comes down to. These are all people that really care about Heroes and have fun with each other and have fun with what they're doing.
Yeah, it makes me happy. What's her name there? Gillyfish. What's her name? Gillyweed. Where was she? Not there?
Yeah, she's there.
Oh, she there?
She's there.
Oh, I didn't
see her. They just rotate in and out. So it's a bunch of them and they all kind of get their shot.
Do you know why I said Gillyfish? Because, and this is no offense to the guy, but the guy sitting next to Grubby in the background on the inner side, he looks a little like a fish. It's just a...
What are you talking about?
It's just fine. I don't know his name. He looks a little like a fish.
The guy sitting next to Grubby. Hold on. I need to look at who you're talking about.
He's in the rear. He's in J-How? The lighter shirt. Is that who that
are you
is?
Right or left? J-How?
I don't know. He looks a little like a fish. Do you see the fish face? Here, hold on. Here.
Dude.
See, it's fine. I'm not saying it's a bad thing.
The show. He's listening right now, going like,
J-How's awesome, and we've played with him, Scott.
No, J-How, I like, listen, everybody involved is awesome. I look like a lot worse than a fish. I'm just saying there's a little bit of fish there, which mainly is an excuse to play this.
Fish.
There you go. I just wanted to play Genji. I was looking for an excuse, and now I found it.
That's fine. Let's lean into it.
Yeah, lean into it. All right, we're going to, what are we going to do? Oh, we got a little congrats here. The Adults with Jobs victory as they represented Convert to Raid. Boy, I you know, Adults with Jobs, seeing their name in the victory circle is not an unusual thing for us. We've seen them there before. But how'd that all go down, and who should we thank, I guess?
Yeah, so the Gathering Storm tournament happening over the past weekend, I showcasted it with Sharku. Adults with Jobs was representing Convert to Raid. And you know, yeah, and I'm calling them out again. I don't know why Lords didn't have a team in this. I think they threw in with Convert to Raid, so it's technically also a Lords of the Storm victory. Which
Who's in charge? Ryan? Is Ryan in charge? Because there's your problem right there.
I don't know. There's some chicanery going on with Gizmozord, I think, and how that worked. Because I said, where's the Lords of the Storms team? And they're like, well, they're with us. And I'm like, but they have their own show. They don't need your show.
Yeah.
And it's a hero show. They must have their own people who can make a team.
Yeah.
So anyways, Adults with Jobs is represented. It's a Convert to Raid / Lords of the Storm joint, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. The lawyers are still looking into it. But I want to give a special shout out to Accidental B-Step, who gave Adults with Jobs a run for their money and made it deep in the tournament at second place, representing none other than Core.
Yes.
So in our hearts, you are the champions. And, you know, we'll get them next time. So,
yeah. Look, I'm going to thank
everybody.
Here's what I'm going to say.
Okay.
And
okay.
Adults with Jobs, hey, understand that when I say this, I'm saying you're good at heroes. So it comes with a compliment. So when I say that you're punching below your belt a little bit in these tournaments here, people who live in a gaming house and play together all the time.
Yeah.
Understand that, yes, that's a bit of a criticism. And yes, I think you're beating up on underdogs a little bit. But I am saying you're good at heroes. So understand it is a compliment. I'm just saying that maybe you should start looking to, you know, step it up a little bit. Move up.
Yeah.
Move in the upperly direction. Because I think you're just wiping the floor with all of us.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's cool. You have the skills and the ability to do it, but now it's time to go to some place where people can wipe the floor with you.
And I'm going to stick up for John for a second, because it sounds like it's salty tacos or whatever it is you say. he's got salty taco. What do you say? He's got creamy beans. I don't know what is it.
No. Yeah, I think you were probably closer with salty tacos. I don't know what you were going for, but probably closer.
So he's got whatever.
Are you talking about sour grapes?
There you go. He's got sour grapes. Good thing of it. Okay? I know it sounds like John has sour grapes, but Adults with Jobs are a very committed team of community people. They are not actually professionals.
No, they're really good.
They are known to play in a higher tier in the chair league, and they are really good. Yeah. So they're a formidable team to go against.
Yeah, they did it. The Heroes of the Pants tournament we did, they were pretty incredible in that. Stunk up and scared everybody.
I think I saw Solid Jake Cat. I don't know if that's my cracked out imagination, but didn't they try an open division? I can't remember. I talked to Sharku, but I don't remember what he said.
Oh, that's cool.
I thought I saw it. It could be totally off.
Well,
anyways, that's a good team.
What I'm saying. I'm saying retire from amateur scene and go to pro. Go to pro.
Time to go pro.
You're better than all of us.
Yeah.
I'll set you up with a Canadian sponsorship for Excel.
Yeah.
Accelerate your breath. And we'll change your name to Excel with Jobs. All right, moving on.
Very nice. By
the
way,
great tournament. Thanks to everyone who helped out.
I appreciate the memory or the reminding of that age old saying that people used to say, are you frustrated? I sure am. I wouldn't have creamy beans about it. No. It's sour grapes. Sour grapes, everybody. Oh, and Jay Howe, this is for you.
I love fish.
I love fish, okay? I mean it. I love fish.
Keep making it better.
I love fish. It's the lighting, it's the set. I don't know. There's just for a second, there was a little fish. That's all.
You know what would be great is if he actually owned it and thought it would improve his name and he went from J-How to J-Fish. Like, it's J-How 2.0, J-Fish. It would be great.
I would feel justified.
We're leaning into a John with the damage is done.
I'm just staying away from all of this. Hi, J-How. You're already mad at me because I couldn't figure out what to do with Jaina and a Zeratul Void Prism. I figured it out. Thing number one that you should be proud of me for. Thing number two, I have nothing to do with what
right.
you're saying.
Yeah,
J-How, what I was trying to say is don't have any creamy beans about it.
Yeah. Keep your salty taco and creamy beans to yourself is what we're saying. Oh my gosh, we do have one more email. This comes to us from, Dave sent this to core@heroesforyou.com. And he says the following. Hey, guys, thanks for the fantastic show that never ceases to make me laugh and think. Well, I'm happy to hear about the think part. I am not a better Heroes player because of you all, but I am a better person. All right. Not sure how to take that. Anyway, I was listening to episode 81, and you were having a conversation about how Varian's taunt ability was broken, especially how it doesn't live up to the fantasy of the skill. I started thinking about some of the other ways that the taunt ability could work, and I thought about how the taunt mechanic worked in the 4th edition of Dungeons & Dragons. What if, upon triggering your AoE taunt ability, you grant all teammates within the range of a big chunk of armor, excuse me, and all of the non-heroic abilities of the enemy's team comes off cooldown? That way you lose the stun lock and loss of character control that feels bad, but you still substantially de-incentivize the enemy from attacking anyone but you. It also means you now have have to manage your own survival to a greater degree while the empowered enemy is coming down on you. I look forward to hearing if you think this idea has legs. Thanks and keep up fighting. Dave, who has a quote here, says, "We see the world not as it is, but as we are." It's pretty deep. Exactly. When I see J-How as a fish, I'm seeing myself as a fish, is what I'm saying.
Okay. I get it now.
I'm the fish. I love fish.
I love
think
J-How
will see it too.
Yeah, of course he will. So why don't we, I mean, this is an interesting question. Like, what if taunt worked not as basically a stun? Because that's what taunt's like, a root and a stun. More like a root, I guess. Because you're rooted in the spot, you're hitting him, but you can't do anything else. So it's like a root in a way with even less options. Wouldn't it be cool if you could turn that root into something that was more, I don't know. I see where he's going, but with what he described here, is this good enough, do you guys think, to fix taunt?
Yeah. The 4th edition Dungeons and Dragons was interesting because when we played our campaign, we didn't have a warrior in there, but I think we had a paladin. Mm. And what the paladin would do is his version of taunt would be, the monster would have to attack the paladin. If he attacked something else, he'd take extra damage against himself attacking something, if I'm not mistaken. Mm. So he could attack the paladin, or he could go attack the magic user, but also roll damage dice or take a certain amount of damage. There's a marking mechanic specifically in 4th edition. By the way, all the D&D nerds really hate that you picked 4th edition out of all the editions to do a comparison for, because it's reviled. I don't know about the armor thing. That feels OP, and we're already having a hard enough time keeping track of who has armor, when they have armor. We've all got salty tacos about that one.
Right.
But there could be a means through which if you have to, for 5 seconds when you're taunted, can only attack Varian without penalty. And if you attack any other characters, you do your own damage back to yourself or something ridiculous like that, like any of the other characters. Mm-hmm. I think that would be very powerful, but that could also be a very feels bad mechanic that they don't want to do. I don't know if they've thought of it.
Yeah, like if Kael'thas were to pyroblast somebody, but you taunt before the pyroblast gets there, then it goes off and he blows himself up. That'd be cool. Yeah.
Doesn't feel like taunt when you think about it that way. It just feels like a broken, cheaty move.
Yeah.
Right? Well, I mean, if Varian, like, I don't know, if he like yelled at him and smacked him. The idea isn't that it's Kael'thas' pyroblast doing it. It's Varian being very angry about the pyroblast that's doing it.
Taunt's such a... Go ahead.
No, how does the Gunzerker work in Borderlands 2?
Oh.
He's got a taunt, and he actually lifts up the birds and swears, but I didn't play the Gunzerker.
Well, the problem, the problem with that is, it's funny you say that, because I was just going to say that's a PvE thing, and it works great. Like, PvE taunt is brilliant, because it's not affecting people. It's when you're PvPing, and you're in a situation where somebody's being what is essentially stun-locked, frustratingly so. I don't know. It's a hard... It's a big challenge for them, and I don't know how they fix it. You have to.
I still think it needs to like focus them on the person. That's fine. I just think it's dumb that you lose control of all of your abilities.
Yeah.
If someone makes you mad, like you don't really feel like punching someone right now, Scott. But right. If someone came along and started, you know, I know you have your triggers. If they're being real dicks to like little kids or something,
yeah,
you know,
I do
you
have,
just
that
want
does
to jump in their
me.
Face and be like, hey, buddy, you're taunted. That's you being taunted.
Yeah.
All of a sudden, your fists grow three times the size and you're Popeye and you're ready to knock somebody out. Like, that's what taunt does. So really, you should make the enemy walk towards you, but you should empower them as well in some way.
I agree. Losing their abilities is not... I totally agree with that. Maybe that's the fix.
I agree with Bo, and now I'm going to suggest the complete opposite of what he said, even though I like what he said. What if it just reset the cooldown on all your base abilities if you got taunted?
Well, but could you still not use them during the taunt, though? I guess
no, it doesn't do anything else. It just literally, all your cooldowns are now gone. It's as if you just blew every ability that you had.
That's interesting, because then there's risk if you go and taunt somebody with a particularly dangerous late game ultimate. And they've been on cooldown and have another 60 seconds left on the 80-second cooldown, and you suddenly reset that to zero, your choice to taunt them has some repercussions. That's interesting.
I don't think it would make it to where it affected ultimates unless that was your 20.
Yeah.
But then that might be way too broken because those are really long cooldowns. But I'm just thinking, like, you know, you've got characters like Zeratul who like to teleport away and things like that. You know, I think if it did something like maybe a silence, like a quick brief silence to interrupt anything they might be in the middle of and then put every ability on cooldown, like that then prevents them from using their escapes, but they can still either stay in auto to fight or, you know, they can try to run away.
Right. Like, if I'm Tracer, I can get another rewind or something. If it was on cooldown, I could do that. Yeah. That's something they should try. Why not? I mean, maybe that's already been tried. They're smarter than us. So who knows? Yeah. But I love that idea.
I have a little tip because I've been playing a lot of Carl Jim in Hero League, and his cleanse talent is super good, which at level 16, so it's a little late in his tree, but versus Variant, I discovered it's actually super powerful. You have three charges if you take the talent. You just cue to them like whenever you want and break the taunt or prevent it completely. It's amazing. It works better than like regular cleanse.
Really?
It comes late. So you do have 10 to 16 can be rough if you're the solo healer. But rather than going 100 fists, taking that cleanse, it feels so good. It feels more powerful than fists. He taunts. He taunts your not Morales, but let's say it's your Li Ming.
Yeah.
That's it. She's dead. The Q's coming out, the Alarak's barreling down the lane to go and finish her off.
Yeah.
Bing! You go, shoop! What's the noise it makes? It goes, shh! You know, and then you cue over to Li Ming. Li Ming just walks away, teleports out, boom. If he slows her down, ding! You can hit it again with another... just keep ding, 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 and keep cleaning her off, and she gets away. And it's amazing. So
that
I'm a big fan
right.
of cleanse versus Varian, cleanse kerosene versus Varian taunt.
Well, aren't you happy then you're so happy to know that cleanse is being systematically removed from the game. So that's
but it's not cleanse. It's a 16 talent on Carl Jim that I think won't go away. I don't think anyone's paying a lot of attention to it right now. But as more and more cleanse goes away, that might actually become
interesting because and that also fits within the pattern we're seeing, which is they're getting rid of Bolt or they're getting rid of Cleanse or they're getting rid of Mule, but they're inserting into characters natural replacements for those that make sense for not only their lore, but their kit or their quest talent or whatever it is. Like, so that's a place where that one would just stay. In fact, his thing is already an example of that in play. No need to change it.
Yeah, so, there's a talent too where if you dash to someone, you give them 30% move speed on yourself.
Yeah.
And that's on a different tier than the cleanse. So give him cleanse, give him mount speed, give yourself mount speed. It's actually pretty great. And it's not something I play with a whole lot of because 100 fists is just hard to pass up.
You're just proving again that Karazim's the greatest character in the history of Heroes of the Storm.
I think he is literally the best hero in the game. The most well-designed, loved, and best hero in the game.
I freaking love him. I'm with you. If I'm voting today, he gets my Karazim for president of the Nexus. President Karazim. Does he have a last name?
The Endless Tides.
What's his last name? It's like Jones or something cool, right?
Karazim. Yeah, Jones. It's Jones. Karazim Jones.
I'm Karazim Jones.
Zimmy Zammy.
Zimmy Zammy. I'd say racist, but he's a fake race in a fake game, yeah, so it doesn't really work. All right.
J-Fish.
Great email, by the way. We love this email, Dave, and it's given us plenty to think about. Please send those kind of emails in. We love it. Next week, we'll also include more of your calls. I'm getting into that on more shows. And the way I'm getting it to work with Discord is working out nicely. So for those at home that are like, hey, I'll come to a live show and pop in and say something, you just go to our free Discord channel over at frogpants.com/Discord. You don't have to do anything special. It's a permalink. Get in and join that little call waiting group, and we'll pull you in. That's it, I think, for the show today. Big thanks to everybody for listening. We're going to play some games here after, so hang around if you'd like to watch some of that. Get a little Malthael action, at least till he dies very quickly. Hey, it's heroesforyou.com is our website. I recommend you use that on the frequent because that's where you'll find links to everything you may need to know about the show, including links to video versions of this here show, the podcast links, where you can get them, all that stuff. So go there, heroesforyou.com. You can follow us on Twitter, @CoreHeroes, @John_Jagger, @ScottJohnson, and @BoSchwartz. It's going to do it for us, for me, for Bo, for John. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.